Well, some of you are probably saying, oh no, it's him. Especially my Sunday school class, because they've already sat through almost an hour of hearing me speak. But the song service really blessed me this morning. God walks the dark valleys and, you know, He carries us through a lot of the things that we go through in this life, and that kind of is what my message is about this morning. I told Deb this morning when I first seen her, I said, this may be a one-time event. This may be the first and only time I get to fill this pulpit, because this is a hard sermon. It's a hard sermon. It's one that I think that a lot of folks, especially our preachers that are, and I'll refer to them as false prophets because that's what they are, that are not bringing these points out because they're afraid they might offend somebody. And I might offend somebody with God's word this morning, but it's God's word, it's not mine. And I want folks to be able to stand up and say what God's word says to us. And, you know, you probably have heard the past week or so about Phil Robertson and how he's got himself into some trouble with A&E because of what he said. Well, they have since backed up. But I'm going to be preaching on exactly what he was talking about and what he's quoted or paraphrased in part of his statement. But I'm going to start with Matthew 7:13, and I don't know whether they'll have time to get this stuff up on the screen or not. I should have brought them a note, and I didn't. But at any rate, 7:13 and 14 in the book of Matthew, we just studied it in our last Bible study with Keith. Hello. But it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. And that narrow gate is following God's laws and morals and values here on this earth. And the people and the false prophets that I'm going to be talking about a little bit later, they fail to bring this message out that there's sin in every one of us's life, mine in particular. I have sin in my life. Am I proud of it? No, I am not the least bit proud of it. I do my dead level best to get rid of it every day. And some of it keeps coming back and haunting me each and every day. But I keep fighting. Because I am so proud to be able to call Jesus my Lord and Savior. And it's not because of what I did, it's because of what He did for me. He died on the cross. He suffered, He bled, He died on that cross because of me and my sins. Now, I've been given the privilege of being able to go through that narrow gate if I keep on keeping on. And I fully intend to, with God's help. And I know He has to help me because in my flesh I'm not able to do it. No one else is either in their own self. But with God's help, we can. And we will. So we'll go through that narrow gate. But there will be many that goes through the wide gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Well, praise God. Most of us, if not all, are some of those who are those few who will find it. Not because what we did, but because what Jesus did for us and because He called us. He found us when we weren't looking for Him. I went to a church and I said, I don't know why I'm here. I don't want to be here. But I went to pacify my wife and my mother-in-law. By the way, at that time, I had the world's worst mother-in-law. I mean, they couldn't have been any a worse mother-in-law anybody could have had. Thursday night, I went to that revival meeting. I ain't going back Friday night. Ain't going to happen. Friday night, guess where I was at? Friday night, I ain't going back Saturday night. Saturday night, guess where I was at? Ain't no way you can drag me to Sunday services. No, I ain't going to hear that preacher again. I've done heard all of him I want to hear, even though he said some things that made me know that God could save me because I hadn't sinned as much as he had. I hadn't put my wife in the hospital twice with broken bones from my hand. I hadn't been a collector for the Dallas Mafia finance companies and broken bones. I hadn't done those things. So I figured, you know, if God can forgive him, evidently, and call him to preach, well, maybe he can forgive me. Well, he did that Sunday morning. Marvelous things happened that day. I had the best mother-in-law you could have ever wanted. Funny thing about it was she didn't change, though. But God transforms our lives if we will allow Him to transform our lives. And if we allow Him to transform our lives and we beware of the false prophets, this is Matthew 7:15. Beware of the false prophet who comes to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And we have some preachers that are filling pulpits today that are just that. We have one in the South that says, oh, all you have to do is think positively and everything will be all right. Well, is positive thinking wrong, Joe? No, there's not a thing in the world wrong with positive thinking as long as you don't think it's going to get you to heaven. It ain't going to get you to heaven. I don't care how positive you think, it's not going to get you to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, that's narrow-minded, you bet. Sure is. If you had $1 billion, and that's B with a big, billion. If you had a $1 billion house, and you and your whole family was in this house, and some turkey come knocking on your front door and said, hey, I'm moving in with you today. What would you do? I don't know about you, but I'd slam the door and say, who's that guy think he is? I don't know him. Same way with God. God's got a much more than a $1 billion house up there for us to inhabit when we die. It's worth more than all the gold in the whole world. It's worth more than all of the diamonds in the whole world. But He says you must come the way I say for you to come. There's no other way. You can't follow Shirley MacLaine. You can't follow Oprah. You can't follow those people that say, well, I'm God. I'm not God. They're not God. There's only one God. And He has to have first place in our lives. And in order for us to achieve heaven as our home, we have to do some things. Now, we have a church out on the West Coast that says, oh, you've got to do all of these good deeds. You've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do this. And if you do all of these things, you'll make it. Well, are we supposed to do good deeds? Sure. But is doing good deeds going to get me to heaven? Or is it going to get you to heaven? No. We have to have the love of Jesus in our hearts. We have to realize that only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and His shed blood and that cross that He died on for each and every one of us. When we come to that salvation, and when I came to that salvation, I had a deep hunger for something that I couldn't stand before that. The Bible was totally uninteresting, boring. Seemed like every time I'd pick it up, I'd open it up, and if it wasn't to Matthew chapter 1, where this one begat that one, and that one begat the other one, and so on, you know, I would read that stuff, and who cares? But it's important to God that He show the lineage to the Jewish folks that will find this and carry it through to find out exactly what has been prophesied and how it has come to pass to the very letter, how God prophesied it to happen thousands of years ago. Isaiah 53 talks about Jesus being born some 900 to 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And there are several hundred more prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus being born. Some of them are almost down to the very day that He was born. So what does that mean, Joe? That means that this book is true. It is true above any other book that you can find anywhere on the face of the earth. It is true. From cover to cover. It's God's Word. But we've got these false prophets out here that are not teaching on things that they should be teaching on. And some of the things that they should be teaching on and should be telling us about, one of the scriptures that I like, and I use it a lot in my walk with the Lord, along with Bob's favorite, you know, he says, if a man thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. Well, this is one of mine. This is in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore. Now, when you run across that word in the Bible, you want to find out what it's there for. Because it's about to say something important. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things. How many is that? All. All things have become new. Did I change immediately? No. Am I still changing? Yes. Do we like change? Some better than others. I'm not afraid of change myself, but a lot of folks are. Well, we're fixing to have an awful lot of change. Get ready for it. You ain't going to like it. I was reading in the paper the other evening how change is coming. 18 states out of 50 now have gay marriage, according to the paper. Why is that, Joe? Because people have, preachers, false prophets have neglected to preach what Phil Robertson was paraphrasing the other day. They refuse to preach it. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, we all pretty well know that there's some of those people out there that we deal with that, you know, they ain't going to make it. But, you know, that's, there's some things in my life that are, you know, I'm not going to worry about. You know, God created me just the way I am, and He loves me just the way I am. Is that true? I don't think so. If it was, He wouldn't have wrote what He's affixing to write or say here in these words. He wants us to work on our change. It's something that He will help us to do. And in my case, when I got saved, when I was walking up the aisle in that church, and it wasn't a real long aisle, but it was longer than this one, and I was in the very back in an overflow room. Walking up the aisle, I said, Lord, I don't know what You're going to do about my drinking. I like to drink. I enjoy a good cold beer on a hot day. I like it. Don't know how You're going to handle this, but I know as a Christian, I really ought not to drink. 2 or 3 days later, I figured it out. Went past a tavern. I got saved in August, by the way. Hot. Driving down the road, I don't remember now whether I was coming home from work or where I was going or what was going on. But anyway, I went past a tavern. Oh. That's how we're going to handle it. My mouth didn't water for a good cold beer. And I knew then God had delivered me from that desire. So I didn't have to fight that battle, but I've fought all the rest of them. I fought all the rest of them. He goes on to say here, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what's so hard about these people preaching that? Nothing hard about it. God said it, I believe it. That settles it. And of course, that middle part of that statement doesn't even matter. God said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. That's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to happen. These folks that keep these things in their lifestyles are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Who said that? Job didn't say that. God said it. Who's the thief? Well, I was in the store the other day and they had that candy bar laying a little bit too close to the edge of the counter, and I slipped it into my pocket and I got away with it. You think God considers you a thief for doing that? I bet He does. That little white lie I told the other day, do you think God has white lies and gray lies and black lies? Or do you think he just has out and out lie? How about the adulterers? The world is saying, oh man, fornication and adultery. I'm going to lump those two together. They're actually two separate sins. The world is saying, you know, oh, you wouldn't buy a used car without trying it out first, would you? As the folks that's been here for quite some time know that my wife and I have only been married for a little over 5 years. We were both used cars. But we didn't try each other out until the night of our marriage. Why? Because I screwed it up the first time. I had my first wife pregnant when we got married. I wasn't about to do it twice. Some people learn from their mistakes and they don't make them twice. Some people don't. Ogman Nino had a saying about that. He said there's three kinds of people in the world. There's people that learn from their own mistakes. They're wise. There are people that learn from other people's mistakes. They're intelligent. But there are those people who don't learn either from their own mistakes or the mistakes of others, and those are fools. I think he might have had something there. But adulterers, fornicators, idolaters, homosexuals, sodomites, and of course that's what Phil Robertson got in trouble for. Homosexuality is a sin. Just like adultery, just like idolatry, just like fornication, just like lying, just like extorting, stealing. Oh, that's hate speech, Joe. No, that's love speech. I love them enough that I'm not going to go out here and take a ball bat and work on their heads. No, I'm not going to do that because I love those people. I just don't like the sin that they're committing. If one was to walk through the door, would he be invited to sit down? Yes, he would. Would I go over and shake his hand? Yes, I would. Would I invite him to come back? Yes, I would. Because I know he's going to hear the word of God here, and that's the only way he's going to be able to change. Oh, he was born that way. You haven't read Romans chapter 1, have you? God said it was unnatural for a man to leave the desire of a woman. So they weren't born that way. I'm sorry. I hate to burst your bubble, but you weren't born that way. God didn't intend for you to be that way. The prince of the power of the air intended for you to be that way, and you believed a lie. God will help us to clean the sin from our lives if we will pray and read His Word and pray. And most importantly, pray. Pray and study God's Word. And pray. If you're not growing as a Christian, then how many hours a day? If you're not growing as a Christian, how many minutes a day are you reading the Bible? That will tell you why you're not growing as a Christian. If you don't read this word, you can't have a relationship with God. God put me here and He put you here to have a relationship with Him. That relationship is what I make of it. Now I'm retired, as most of you know, but if Anna was to come home every night this week and I was not to say one word to her, not one word, every night this week, next weekend, never say not one word to her. And the following week, not say one word to her. How long do you think my marriage would last? How long would you think my relationship with my wife would last? How long did you spend this week talking to God? Well, how do you talk to God? Just like I'm talking to you. He is our Father. He is our Daddy. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to share with Him our needs, our wants, our desires. And He wants to give us the desires of our heart as long as they're in the center of His will. Will He give us everything we want? Are you kidding? Do you give your kids everything they want? There's some things that we want's not good for us, and He knows. He knows much better even than we do. Now, the false prophets who omit this from their preaching services, one of these days they're going to stand before God and they're going to answer. For they're not preaching that neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will be inheriting the kingdom of God. They're going to have to stand and say, well, they won't say anything because they'll know they done messed up big time. There won't be any excuses when you're standing before the Lord. There won't be any answer for why didn't you preach what was right there in the Word for you to preach. Verse 11 goes on to say, and such were some of you. Well, I don't know about you. I read through that list and I'm not sure about the idolater part of it, but probably I was guilty of that too. I know I was guilty of all the rest. Because I'm human. And I had committed every one of those sins at one point or another in my life. Now I'm doing my dead level best to not do them anymore. But I'm not doing them because I think I ought to. Although, shouldn't I? Because I ought to. Yeah, I ought to. But I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm doing it because I love God because of what He's done for me. And how is He going to see that love? We were talking about it in Sunday school this morning. Our Christian witness doesn't start here. It starts at the front door and goes away with us. Our Christian witness is what we are outside these front doors. Our Christian witness is what we need to show other people. Our lesson writer in our Sunday school this morning brought out the saying that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, and evidently he lived about somewhere around 1000 A.D. And he said that we're to preach every day. We're to preach the gospel every day. And when necessary, use words. Now I say that because a lot of us think that, you know, the preacher is the one that's supposed to do all of the witnessing. No. There was an old adage that one of the evangelists brought with him in a revival that I was in one time. When sheep multiply, what do they have? They have sheep. When the shepherds multiply, they have shepherds. You're the sheep. You are to multiply by going out from this door and telling people about Jesus Christ. You're to multiply the flock. That's our job. Now, I'm just filling in this morning, so I'm among you sheep. I am one that's supposed to go out and share the good news with anyone and everyone that will listen. We were talking about some of the people that we go to a book study on Tuesday nights at the healing rooms in Cape Girardeau. And they do what they call treasure hunting. There'll be a group of these folks come in and they'll meet there at the healing room and they'll pray. And they'll divide up into twos and they'll go out to different stores, to Walmart, to Kmart, to Sears, out in the mall, wherever. And they'll stand around and they'll wait for God to show them someone. And they'll go up to them. Would it be all right if we said a prayer for you? And the folks that was sharing this with us, I don't believe they've ever been turned down. Didn't they say that they had never been turned down? Because the Holy Spirit would show them the people that were in need of somebody praying for them. Well, we ain't supposed to beat them over the head with the Bible. No, they're not beating them over the head with the Bible. They're just walking up to them and the Holy Spirit is showing them that these folks need prayer. They need somebody to talk to. Can we be that receptive? Well, what's special about those folks? They walk on 2 feet just like I do. Some of them don't dress like I do. There's some of them's ladies. But you get to drift. They're no different than we are. Can we do that? The only thing that's stopping us is us. God will help us to do all things. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do all things through Christ. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 is another very important scripture. And I want to turn to it so I don't bollocks it up. But if you're not familiar with it, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. And the writer here is talking to his church members. He says, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Why is it your reasonable service? Because he died on the cross. He died on that cross for you and he died on that cross for me. And he deserves more than I could give him. More than all of us together could give him. He deserves everything. Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all sin and purify to himself a different people, zealous of good works. zealous for good works. Now the original word there says he delivers us, redeems us from all sin to and purify to himself a peculiar people. Well, a lot of people think that peculiar means odd. It doesn't. It means different from. We are to be different from the world. They're to look at us and be able to see something different about us. And I'm as bad about this as anybody else. A lot of times I'll walk around looking like I got baptized in pickle juice. But we have the thing in our hearts that should make us the happiest people on earth. We have Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you don't have that peace and that joy of knowing Jesus in your heart, we're going to have a song of invitation. And I invite you to come. We will pray with you. We will share Jesus with you. Because he died for one and all. He didn't die for just me. He didn't die for just the two Garys here or any of these folks here. He died for each and every one. So if you're here this morning and you don't know him, please come up here and we'll pray that Jesus comes into your heart. Because he's died for all. If you're here and you want to have a closer walk with Christ, come. We'll pray. We'll pray together. And I know I need a closer walk with Christ because I'm going to be down here. Because I'm convicted about my sin each and every day. Because I know I need to repent each and every day and do my best to get those sins out of my life, because they don't belong there. I don't want them there because I love him.